Ragtime bandits and pirate pacers, you scurrilous scoundrels and ravager racers, to another shop till you drop, fight against the clock episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits. This is your final countdown watcher, Patrick, and joining me in righting wrongs and lefting rights are my four friends, your players. Jibberigazagdar! Try to as fast as I could.
I was going to say, that's what it would sound like if we were all like one rat, like Rat King D player.
If we ever
play Human together, Centipede D&D player.
If we ever play together live, you guys should try playing all holding hands, and then two people in the middle have to have both their hands held while playing. Or maybe we could just do it in a circle and everyone has to hold
in a circle.
Two hands. It'd be very difficult.
Or it has to be like that game where each person can only say one word so, you know.
Well, we can do that right now in the podcast. Like that.
Yes. I'm not warmed up for funnies right now.
my we'll funny lobe is not tickled and ready. Let us ease into it.
We should have a role play baton where like the only two people that can play are the two people that are touching the stick.
Ooh, that sounds fun too.
And then they get to choose who they role play with.
And everyone else gets to make snide jokes. I love it. Get that stick away from me.
Guys, welcome back to Skull and Shackles. We're still playing this same campaign. It's crazy. Honestly. And this is, the official start-ish to book six.
Start-ish.
From Hell's Heart by Jason Nelson.
Jason Derulo.
From Hell's Heart.
Patrick, are we going to be fighting bugs and or like cyborgs or automatons in this book?
You might be confusing this with Starfinder.
No, there are no giant mechs. I'm just wondering if we're doing it because like I've been playing like so much Helldivers 2 and like that's really all I want to fight right now.
Is that series? I don't know what I thought the first one was, but is that series based on Starship Troopers?
Oh, no, but it definitely...
It's got giant bugs in it.
Yes, a lot of things have giant bugs in them, Patrick.
And dropships and big old mech people.
No, Helldivers.
Helldivers
is like autocratic capitalist nightmare world where like every citizen has to be in the service to be considered, worthy of the government's...
That's literally the plot of Starship Troopers.
Yeah, so Starship Troopers, right?
Yeah, I'm aware, but it celebrates excess in a really huge way. Everything that you do involves your spaceship, which every person in the military gets. Apparently, every Helldiver gets their own spaceship. Whenever you want to call down any equipment or anything, they use another pod that they just shoot from space down. And if you die, they just replace you with another person by shooting another pod down. It's just
sounds great.
It's just you just use so many resources for very small things.
It looks very fun. I've seen a lot of videos.
It's a blast. Bugs and robots, please. That's all.
I don't know what to tell you. I don't think there's any the rest of this campaign of either. Do constructs count as robots? I don't know.
I can pretend.
What about clocks? Do they count?
Big old clock fighting. When we last left off, you all had survived taking on your mortal enemy in the form of Barnabas Harrigan at the end of book 5 of the campaign, The Price of Infamy. And I guess we didn't really talk too much about the book 5. Did you guys have a good time in that one?
It's an interesting place for them to end the campaign at book 5, and then they just dedicate a whole other book to like sailing off into the sunset. I'm fine with it.
It's like Final Fantasy IV, the after years or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, we when we played this in our home game, we really did play up Harrigan being like the big bad of everyone's like personal story, you know? So when they killed him, we're like, that feels like a great place to to stop. And then we did, which is kind of fun. I've decidedly not made that mistake in our podcast because you guys obviously have a lot more other kind of stories that need to be told for these characters.
He's such a good, because he's an active villain. Like, Kurnak Bonefist, for what I'm going to just boldly assume will be one of, probably not the end boss of Book 6, but one of the potential bosses of Book 6. Dude just sits on a throne in a fort, far on an island. You know, we see him twice or whatever. Cool.
Yeah. He's in there. He's in his parts.
No,
but no, you know, doubt. Harrigan crops up multiple times. I mean, he's a very consistent obstacle.
Yep.
And, you know, I feel like sometimes in adventure paths, you kind of meet the obstacle and then you murder the obstacle and then you move on.
Right. Yeah. It's really pretty rare. I mean, it's not rare exactly, but it's one thing that this campaign does really, really well is like gets you familiar with the, you know, well, I mean, assuming Harrigan is the big bad, gets you familiar with the big bad and then like makes you feel things about the big bad and then, you know, gives you the opportunity to, you know, fight the big bad, you know? And so, but in a lot of them, like, you know, that's like, I mean, the final boss or like, you know, the emotional sort of crux of the action is like somebody you meet in the book that you, in the book that you fight them.
Yeah, I mean, like, Dead Sons is a great example of this, where Sarah Vaughk is the final boss in Book 6.
We're all like, Sarah who?
You literally meet, I mean, from what I can remember, perhaps you might know of him or hear of him earlier, but really, he pops up at the end and is like, you know, I am an admiral of the corpse fleet.
I'm a skull guy.
And this grand weapon of the Kish will be mine, and then you're like stab, and he's like, ah.
I mean, I would have played him up earlier in that campaign had I known about him.
Oh, that right, because you were doing it.
I was doing that way as it was being released before the books were published. So, like, true. Did what I could, but yeah, obviously, right. With this campaign,
kind of the same way with the Sun Divers campaign. Mm-hmm. Because like the big bad at the end was some general that you hear a lot about, but he never shows up until the very end.
Yeah, Harrigan does a great job eliciting passionate reaction. Just, you know, like murder this man. Like, we want to murder this man. Please, dear Lord.
But to me, I mean, like, sure, he is a personal villain, right? Like, we all have personal motivation against him and personal experiences with him, whereas Bonefist, while maybe not a personal villain in the same way, is a political villain that is arguably a lot more powerful and more far-reaching. So,
well,
if you want to enact real change to the pirate life or pirate, you know, social landscape, Harrigan is not where it's at. It's Bonefist, right? So, like, yeah, 100%. That's
Kurnak Bonefist has done nothing to you guys. Yeah,
that's the difference, though, is that Bonefist has certainly done bad things. There's no question about that. Yeah. He hasn't really hindered us or harmed us.
Yeah, he's not really a villain so much as he, like, if our ambition is to, you know, is to rule the shackles, then he is an antagonist.
Well, and it may not be our ambition, but it is the ambition of some of our allies that we've met along the way.
Yeah, like, I mean, Tessa Fairwind, and we're certainly helping out, you know, Tessa by, but I think, like, without Tessa, we wouldn't, you know, I know that, you know, speaking from Cassie's perspective, without Tessa being like, I'd love to displace Bonefist, Cassius wouldn't care if Bonefist reigned for eternity. You know,
right.
What he cares more about is the Chelish Navy's invasion.
Mm-hmm.
How Bonefist gets involved in that is kind of very, very, very secondary. And what? I think, and I think, in fact, it would, if the Chelish weren't a part of this, Cassius would be far more likely to ally himself with Bonefist than, and you know, most other folks. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see how this book plays out.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Yeah, if only somebody wrote a book about this. Somebody should write that.
Well, yeah, and then apparently there's a prophecy about me murdering him, so I feel like I should go along with that.
Right. We got through four parts of book five, and my initial question was how you guys enjoyed, you know, gaining all the infamy that you did, and then finally taking on Harrigan at the end of book five. It reminded me a lot of book two and
3 going up to the Free Captain's Regatta.
I really wanted the Harrigan fight to be after the fleet battle.
But just like, I mean, immediately after
it, right? Yeah.
Well, yeah, yes, like, but I wanted ship. I wanted, yeah, like,
to, you catch know, up with him and fight him on his ship. Yeah.
Having to like sail to the fort and do a dungeon crawl was totally fine, but I felt like it didn't have the cinematic oomph as,
right, yeah, it
meeting him
had he been like, at the end of the fleet fight.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, it was like, it was sort of like it had a certain like momentum going that like came to a stop while, like, you know, while we all like,
yeah, Patrick, get on a dinghy, we're criticizing and go to the story right now.
So what I'm hearing you say is you want another big fleet fight and then have a couple of one-on-one battles immediately after it. I think I mean, I might be able to help you.
Oh, sweet. Yeah.
You know what? I just had an idea. What if Barnabas dies and then he possesses Bartleby? And then we get Bartleby Harrigan.
Bartleby
Harrigan.
Bartlegan. Don't say that 3 times or he'll appear.
Bartleby Findigan.
Bartlegan, Bartlegan,
Bartlegan. Did we not kill him?
He's alive. Yeah, he's alive.
Now this episode starts indeed with him chained up in the hold of the Tidebreaker, perhaps in the storage section of a ship he once tried to take. Stripped of his very expensive weapons and armor that you guys got to keep, and indeed in chains and shackled up. You guys, the last thing that happened was you found in his magical gloves all the plans, every one of the plans that it seemed like he has been making in his service as a agent of Cheliax. Indeed, this seems to be happening right now. That his attack on the Isle of Empty Eyes and your guys' was going to be happening as the Chelish fleet was assembling around the Eye of Abednego. That is what these plans had drawn up, was to occupy you with kind of a giant fleet battle while this was going on, and try and take the Isle of Empty Eyes as kind of like a staging point. Something that he wanted to do by just buying it out from you at the end of the Free Captain's Regatta.
Well, so they're gonna love it when they get there and they find it occupied by a bunch of enormous cyclopses.
Okay, so what would you guys like to do? That is what you've found out, that there is a grand Chelish armada that seems to be bound for the Shackles. It's not just a few pirate, you know, or Chelish raiders looking to take down a lone pirate ship here or there. This is a giant fleet of ships that
are coming. In the movies, this is where we would call all the pirate lords to council and come up with a plan. Can we do that?
Hold on.
Uh-huh. Can we, on the map, where are we and where is the armada coming from?
Okay. Yeah, you're maybe a few days travel. You're over here on the far kind of northwest corner of the archipelago of the Shackles. Port Peril, mind you, is down here, and the Eye of Abednego is kind of up here where the compass is. It's just on the northeast side of the Shackles. The Drenchport is probably the closest. And then, of course, the Isle of Empty Eyes is on this north side of the Shackles as well here. Your fleet is mostly still being repaired at the Isle of Empty Eyes. You recall you left just about every ship behind to guard the island and undergo repairs from the battle with Harrigan's fleet. So do you guys want to, as pirate lords, most of you are pirate lords here in your main characters, you can call a council meeting, an emergency council meeting, if that's what you want to do.
Yeah, emergency council meeting.
How do we do that, though?
Do we have enough information to hold a meaningful meeting, or could this be an email?
Oh my god. Oh, for the love of Desna.
Rebecca, you know you're allowed to quit your job if you want to.
Yeah.
Who's taking minutes?
It's a very...
This is the equivalent of just like I was gonna call a meeting about Pearl Harbor, but I decided I would just send a text. But but AT&T network is just so unreliable. I don't think it ever went through.
Congress, what up? It's your boy Franklin.
I can't wait for Lin-Manuel Miranda's sequel to Hamilton. Yo, Congress, what up?
And what gifts would you put in that email? Just have some like the Chelish Navy is gathering. We better prepare. And it's just like have this like girl be like, "Uh-oh."
All the pirate lords reply back with Homer disappearing into the bush. We don't know about that. Yeah, so it is a few days sail back to Port Peril from where you're at. I think we left off with you guys saying you wanted to go to the Isle of Empty Eyes, but that will add a little bit of time to your journey if you want to do that. You do have two ships here, though, if you want to break off and maybe send B team to the Isle of Empty Eyes and move on to Port Peril with A team.
That might be a move, just because the B team doesn't have quite as much influence, for sure.
That is true.
I don't think they're pirate lords, but
not yet. Yeah. Man, can you imagine if they like announced as we were wrapping up this campaign that they're making like Skull and Shackles 2, more Scullier.
For more Scullier.
Like more Shackles.
Skull, 2 Shackles.
You're like, oh, here we go.
3 times the shackles of the original adventure.
Here we
also
go.
Barnabas Harrigan Jr. with a special ability allows him to put 8 shackles on one individual as a swift action.
Man, and I was going to come at him with an octopus character. That just totally debunks that.
Yeah. Yep. There aren't even swift actions in
Honestly,
making up a ton of stuff here.
If they made like a guidebook for the Shackles second edition Pathfinder, there should be like were beast as an ancestry, so you could be like were shark or an octopus, a were octopus man, and just have completely sea creature people. Okay, I'm getting too excited now. It does pull it back.
Write down some notes here.
Can you imagine it's One Piece, the TTRPG is what I'm describing.
Yeah, you're making the Zoan fruit or whatever those are called.
Mm-hmm. I am. Literally drooling. Sounds like so much
sounds
fun.
Sounds great.
All right. So as the Tidebreaker rolls into Port Peril, I think you can put out, you know, feelers to immediately call back your allies, but also all the pirate lords to get a meeting going. This will probably take a few days. Is there anything that you want to do in Port Peril while you wait?
Shopping montage, gear up, pulling out like 12 swords and putting them all in our bags, in our pockets and so forth.
Adding swords to our armor so that we're wearing sword armor.
Swords on our swords.
So if someone attacks us, they take damage and then we don't get hit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought special sword bullets for my pistol.
Actually, it would be very fun to have sword armor, and the only drawback is if you get knocked prone, you stab yourself like several times.
Or you
that's
roll.
Like your one weakness.
You start rolling because you don't have enough contact to stop upon making contact with the ground.
I'm done. You. Bizo, like Skull and Jackals Part 2. This is all good stuff.
We got all the ideas.
Skull and Jackals 2. It's got were sharks. Lots of shackles, sword armor that lets you roll all over the place.
Several shackles.
It's just great stuff.
These are classics. Yep. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I figure we would bring. Mm-hmm. Are we bringing Barnabas with us?
It's up to you. You can send him back with his old ship, the Wormwood, in the hold of the Wormwood, if you'd prefer to do that.
I kind of want to keep him close.
Mm-hmm. He is a pirate lord. It's a. Another one for us.
No, I don't think he is.
Not actually.
No, he's not.
He's not?
Nope. Yeah, the pirate lordship was, I mean, part of it. That was based on winning the regatta.
Yeah, you guys denied him.
The Isle of Empty Eyes. So we denied him that position, essentially, which is
what he is. Why a pirate criminal.
Bring him with us and just rub it in his face. Like, don't you wish you were a pirate lord?
Just the most petty nonsense now.
Just go downstairs where he's chained up and finish putting on your fancy clothes, and then have like the pirate lord sash that you put on last. It's like, I'll be back. I have a meeting to attend.
Only pirate lords are allowed, so you know you can't.
That's
go.
Right. I would bring you, but you're only pirate lords. Sorry.
No, actually, you know what? I wouldn't bring you. Bye.
It's Alaris and Cassius standing in front of his cell going, oh, your lordship, what shall we discuss today? Well, my fellow lord.
Oh, who's doing the catering for our pirate lord's meeting? Oh, Binnegans? Oh, boy, I love Binnegans.
Right, so you send out feelers. You're doing some shopping montages here. And
can we talk about gear for the rest of the episode?
I was about to say, we didn't talk about it off air, but you guys have not like divvied out loot for about half a year in role-playing game time.
You weren't going to let it.
It's been like a week in universe, but it's been over a year in podcast time.
Essentially, the Tidebreaker, as it sails into Port Peril, is almost up to the gunnels in like to the sea, because it's so overloaded with treasure. There's just coins falling out the side.
Some heavy treasure.
Some folks on the dock are like, ah, it's a pirate hoarder. They don't. They never sell their treasure. They always claim that they'll need this one day. That must be the famous Captain Drew. That's a poke at our fellow friend Drew. The man doesn't use consumables.
Yeah, he only hoards consumables, though. Those don't weigh all that much, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, they weigh a lot when you hoard all of them.
That's fair. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure at one point Knack had several pounds worth of gear in his cheek pouches that no one was checking.
Yeah, that's right. It's like every week he'd be like, oh, well, that's only light bulk. I can stick that in my cheek pouches. But he never ever took anything out of his cheek pouches.
Yeah.
It's like 30 pounds worth of pistols in his cheek
pouches. It kind of reminds me of a... Was it Fallout New Vegas, where like they had like lockpicks had a weight?
Oh God! Really?
And like you'd just be like, why am I overburdened? And then you look, you have like 130 lockpicks, and it's like that's like 50 pounds of lockpicks. Right. I was like, what? Hold on,
they're not negligible. No,
those types of the Bethesda games, the second they throw on like realistic mode or survival mode where you can only carry
like your
like 200 pounds, it's like, wow, but what am I going to do with my 30 cheeses? Sell them? Are you a monster? Are you a degenerate?
I
mean,
I know that you want me to go to the town, but whenever I see a cave or like an interesting looking rock, I gotta go look at it. And then there's loot. And then I can't carry it all.
I do appreciate that Skyrim realistic mode makes it to where at least I'm not leaving a trail of naked bodies wherever I go. Because, like, without the carry limit or with such a massive carry limit, you're just like, I'm taking all your clothes, I'm taking all your armor. I'm just swiping everything from you. Trail of naked bodies.
Okay. Right. So sending out the old fast ships to call on your allies from other island nations, your other pirate lords here. Go ahead and someone roll me a D4. We'll see how many days it takes for a quorum to appear in Port Peril for you to have your Robert's Rules of Order parliamentary procedure style.
Who's gonna roll
one? It's one D4. Who wants to roll it?
Only going to take one day. We got a one.
Oh.
I don't see a dice roll.
I don't see that.
Roll 20 must be slow, but it's there.
Let's see.
Here, I'll roll. No. Four
there
days.
It comes up. Days. Rebecca. Why?
Her connection's just better than yours, Tyler, so hers came through first.
Yeah. Yeah, wait. Oh. Wait, here comes mine. Hold on.
Yeah, here it comes.
See, one day, just like I said. Hey, listeners, if I had some patient players, we would have had a much better situation.
Okay,
nah, here
still
comes
give us
the
time
one.
To put together a good agenda for the meeting. It's all good.
That's true. All right, Jabert, we've all rolled it. Flex your muscles. Let's see all that right. One.
If we split the difference, I think that's 3 days.
That's no, I'm adding all these D4 together. It looks like looks like it takes you about a week and a half, actually.
Wait, what are they swim? They're swimming to Port Barrel individually.
Yeah, they're taking a long ride. Right, so 4 days later, but you get enough people. A lot of your allies do not show up, though. There's only about 7 other pirate lords that do show up. One of them is, of course, Tessa Fairwind, but a few folks are missing. Mace Darimar and the Master of Gales, as well as your once foe, perhaps friend, Aranax and Demion of Hell Harbor. But there is enough for a meeting, and you guys can petition the Pirate King himself, Erdak Bonefist, for emergency council, and are summoned once more to Fort Hazard in the bay of Port Peril.
Mm-hmm. What pirate lord oversees Drenchport?
Drenchport is both Mace Darimar and the Master of Gales. Master of Gales is the ruler of Drenchport.
The Master Gales, Darimar, and Arrendax and Demion. So that's Hell Harbor and Drenchport, the closest cities to the Eye of Abednego and thus the Cheliax Navy. So probably makes sense that they might be having a hard time. They might be having a bad day.
Right. So when Tessa Fairwind comes in, she'll, you know, ask for a private meeting with you all, perhaps aboard the Tidebreaker, and asks for tidings and kind of like an update, you know, how, Captain Cassius, did you fare against the armada of Barnabas Harrigan? You only sail with one ship in your fleet. What has happened?
Well, the rest of the fleet is just making repairs at the Isle of Empty Eyes. I can pleasantly report that we had very much minor deaths, I suppose. Only a small toll taken on our particular fleet, and Harrigan's was routed quite thoroughly, actually. But
as they say, you should see the other guy.
Right. However, you know, as much as I would like to gloat over my victory of our good man Harrigan, he's a bit of a small fish compared to what we have to deal with now.
Yes, your missive said that the arrayed forces of Cheliax are descending upon the Shackles. Is it true? Is Harrigan an agent for Cheliax?
Aye. Seems like House Thrun is specifically wanting to lead this charge into the Shackles, and their aim is at Port Peril itself. They're gathering around the Eye. We have all the maps and documents and letters and stuff to prove it. And if there ever be a time for pirates to form a defense, now seems to be the best time that will happen.
And we've no word yet from Drenchport and from Hell's Harbor. That does not bode well.
Aye, it's possible that they've sacked those cities, my hope is that those lords have already noticed the Chelish fleet and are preparing their own defenses.
If what you say is true, then typically it takes a good amount of time for ships coming around the Eye to be in any state to fight a war. Moving even around the Eye of Abednego is enough to put most ships in repairs for a week before sailing further south. Perhaps we do have time enough to try and convince the old man, see if we can rally. Let us away to Fort Hazard. Let us try what we can to unite the Shackles.
Yes, let us to the bank.
But before we do, perhaps we have time for a quick side adventure, like a quirky Port Peril.
Well, there was tale of robots and bugs attacking from the south, but
I could use a palate cleanser from all the heavy-handed stuff, like the fate of the Shackles, and there was like some prophecies or stuff involved. That it'd be fun just to have like a romp through, you know, a basement or something.
I think there are like saltwater alligators that are surround Fort Hazard. Do you want to fight one of those again?
Yes, but can it be like an aberrative version that's like...
You have to fight one mutant alligator.
Like a colossal size that has like 5 jaws coming off one jaw. And like a mechanical tail, something that's like really way out there.
Really put me on the spot here, Tyler. I did not have this prepared for this episode, but only just go ahead and bring up Archive of Nethys, and we'll sort by yeah. level of difficulty, and we'll go down to, I don't know, guys, what level yeah, are we right
what,
now?
What type is this? Robotic aberration?
We're level 14.
I'm surprised.
So like a level 21 spawn of Rovagug? Does that sound
good? Oh, right? There we go. Perfect.
That might be too high for level 14 characters, Patrick. Dial it down a little bit.
A great high level creature would be the crocodile from Peter Pan. TikTok? Is that their name?
Was it TikTok or was it just Talk?
I thought it was just talk, but it's been a very long time since I watched Peter Pan. Yeah.
That would be a wonderful high-level encounter.
I'm Googling crocodile from Peter Pan's D&D stats. No, it is TikTok for crocodile.
Yeah.
Well, time for Disney to sue.
I need that Lorcana
card. Their lawyers are like, hold on a minute, honey. I hear someone. They're wrong about Disney. Let's get them.
Oh, here we go. I found a fun thing for you to fight. Let me drop this in the Discord for you guys real quick. Maybe you can describe it to people. It's just a giant sea turtle with two snake heads.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's like a turtle dragon, but it's like
Does the name of this creature start with a T?
Turtle dragon.
It's a Baumal. It is a gargantuan. Aquatic aberration, apparently just in the regular bestiary. I did not
dang
seen this, but this is a CR20 creature. You guys want to fight? You want to fight the ancient Baumal that slumbers beneath Fort Hazard?
I think it resembles
kinda
that. We can probably just send Mahim after it. They'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. What level's Mahim? He'll be fine, right?
Yeah. I think this will be fun. I think B team should have to fight Baumal.
I think Mahim's character concept should be that every day he rolls a d20 and that's his level for that day.
Oh, dude, I like that concept.
Mahim is either a legend.
He's a level one character.
Or a level one character.
That's kind of like the superhero dial H for hero, where he just he dials a phone number and gets a random superpower every day. Today I'm level 17 and I'm taking on an army by myself, and tomorrow I am dying.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I am dead.
Yeah.
Mahim is our Saitama. He's always doing push-ups and he's jogging around the entire length of the boat multiple times every day.
Yeah, not any other pirate has ever done cardio, but Mahim has unlocked the secret.
Mm-hmm. He's figured it out.
Right, so once again, we find ourselves in the lavish open-air dining hall in Fort Hazard in the fortress, kind of like in the center of the fortress walls, and there's on the outside a large open-air courtyard where, if you recall, over a year ago, you guys had you were invited to a banquet where you got your letters of mark, and there's a lot less retainers that have come to this emergency council meeting, but you do see a number of pirate lords that you recognize. You see Port Olo's Avamar Sorinash is here, Cerise Bloodmourne of Quint, who came to your rager on the Isle of Empty Eyes, Hard Luck Massey, Jawless Raffles of Pex and Slip Cove. As I said, probably the largest folks that are missing here are the Master of Gales and, of course, Aranax and Demion. But yeah, less retainers, so maybe there's like 20 people in total in this room. And Kardak Bonefist looks already, once again, a little annoyed when he comes in the room, flanked by a number of guards, and says, "What's this all about, then? You all have some kind of emergency business. We don't even have food prepared for this meeting. Spit it out. What have you to say for yourself? Was it Cassius Vell? Were you the one that called this to order?"
Cassius stands up and is just like, "Aye. Oh, by the way," he hasn't dismissed his wings. They're just hanging out.
"Whoa, wait, what are those? Put those away."
I can't. I can only.
I love it. No. I love that they're like water wings, because it also like gives me the impression that like Cassius is just walking around with floaties around his biceps at all times.
Yeah. can you indeed wrap them around like a bat's wings, kind of like a cape?
I mean, I imagine I could.
Can you fold them over your shoulder like a continental soldier?
Yeah. Can you tie them in a bow?
Do your wings hang low? Do they wobble to and fro?
Are they made of water? Do they have a cool flow?
I was the one who called this because Shackles is staring down the greatest singular threat it has ever faced in its history. The largest assembled Chelish Navy now sits just outside our territory, perhaps even already in it. I have here the documents that prove this, and this council must decide if we are to assemble every pirate hand we can and go to war with the Chelish and defend the freedom of the Shackles and our power here in these islands. And he like throws the like maps and journal entries and stuff on the table.
Ooh. What's all this then?
Bonefist, the Hurricane King, will have someone bring him some of these documents, and he just like looks at them like squinting and is like,
you all know I can't read.
I had a bit of a encounter with one Barnabas Harrigan. We found these on his person, proof of his, and he admitted himself to being a traitor to the Shackles, an ally of the Chelish, as he sought to seek the title of Hurricane King himself. Although we managed to stop his efforts, there is still the threat of the Chelish Navy itself hanging outside the Eye of Abednego.
You say you've killed Harrigan, have you?
I murdered him on his own ship. Watched his blood run into the sea.
That's quite excellent. I can't believe that he had the last laugh, as it were, in fooling you with obviously forged documents such as these.
As a fair wind stands up, it's like, this be no forgery. It does seem like he was working for the Chelish House of Thune for some time. I've been doing my best to monitor efforts of Cheliak's intelligence in the Shackles, and well, Captain Vel here has done almost all of the legwork in rooting out Harrigan, and these papers prove exactly what the captain here says, that we're in for an invasion unlike the Shackles have seen in well over 50 years. Before she can continue on, Kurdak does some mansplaining here real quick and says,
there's been no fleet that survived passage through the Eye of Abednego that has managed to put more than a paltry ship or two under the ocean surface. If this is true, then we should be doing exactly what we are, fortifying our ports, getting prepared, and sticking where we are. They'll try to pick off a few ships here and there, but if we protect our own ports, if you all head back to your own, we'll do just fine. They'll eventually fill their quota and move back north of the Eye in no time.
And if you're as much as I would like to believe this is just another one of their normal raids, if we're wrong, it means we lose everything. Seems like a...
You can lose your newfound island. We've heard so much about of empty eyes out there on the edge by being here, not there, defending it, Vel. But if this Chelish threat of yours is real and not just some farcical invention of untested lords and ladies who are eager to cast a disparaging light upon their former rival, Mr. Harrigan, well, who they obviously feel perhaps deserves more humiliation than a mere murder can offer. Well, I say let those northern devils try their hand against our ports, for after they've been forced to endure the Eye of Abednego, they will stand no chance against our defenses.
There's some harumphs, I think, of, you know, White Olga and perhaps Jolas Raffles, who seem a little uneased by this news. Perhaps they're squirming, ready to get back to their own isles to defend them. if you know what you say is true. And anybody else want to speak up besides Cassius?
Hondo doesn't see any negatives here.
What, you're excited about the challenge coming in and cleaning house?
I mean,
it's a win-win for Hondo.
There's a lot of bad pirates, man.
Yeah. Cassius is trying to be Paul Revere, and Hondo is like, shh, 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 shh.
Let's hear them out. They do want to kill pirates, so.
Well, I mean, okay, Alaris would speak up, but say, Bonefist has an interesting point about focusing on defense. What would the alternative be? Are you proposing that we take our fleets to the eye ourselves and stand the chance of dying ourselves? Like, what's the alternative?
Are you saying this to, like, the table?
Or at least to Cassius.
Okay.
The fact is that all the Chelish care about is here. It is Port Peril itself. To hell with Drensport, Hell Harbor, even my eye. If Port Peril goes, they have the seat of the Shackles. They and all the other, you know, surrounding small lords, they'll just be dominoes to them. And as much as I like to think that the mighty defenses of Port Peril can withstand the full might of the Chelish Navy, fact is, they're on our home turf. We know these waters better than they do, and I feel that our best bet is not to just sit in a fort. That's landlubber defense. A pirate offense. That's how you win. We didn't win the Isle of Empty Eyes against Harrigan's fleet by sitting in our harbor. We met them out in the open ocean. We outmaneuvered them and killed them down to the last. That's what we should be doing here.
Tessa Fairwind stands and kind of backs you up and says, It is very likely that Port Peril might be their final goal, but before then, our friends to the north might be fighting a battle that they cannot win. If the numbers suggested by Barnabas Harrigan's notes are true, he was supplied with dozens of ships, so his fleet might just be the tip of the iceberg. We owe it to our fellow pirate lords to try to meet this armada on the open seas and perhaps take the elements of surprise straight to them. Or at least do what we can, when we can, beforehand. We don't know what their ultimate goal be, but if it is Port Peril, we should defend it before the fight arrives on the city's doorstep. I'm sure your lord, the Hurricane King, will be safe behind these fort walls, but an invasion force like that will result in untold deaths in the city itself. The small folk of Port Peril, well, everything they know will likely burn if the city is sacked. We have to try something before that. It's all I'm saying, and perhaps our allies to the north, they deserve some help as well. Kurdak slams a bony fist on his chair and says, "That kind of thinking is what will get you killed. My orders, your king's orders, are to make ready your ships, form your squadrons for when they are needed, and be cautious, because if this be true, Cheliax has attempted stealthy attacks through the Eye of Abendago before, but they've never taken on a full pirate port that's ready for them. Be ready in your own ports. Don't sail on any kind of foolish mission to fight phantoms, where they be of this traitorous Harrigan. Have you ever thought, Vel, that perhaps he wanted you to find these papers? He wanted you to distract you from something else happening right under your nose.
Harrigan was a great many things, but a man of devious subterfuge was not one of them. An ambitious man, a man who sought the seat you sit in. But he was not one to try and pull shade over the helm when there wasn't one. I don't believe that were his goal.
I hope he's rotting on the bottom of the ocean somewhere if he was in league with the Chelish. Regardless, this council meeting is adjourned. Get back to your ports and ready your squadrons. But that's the last of it. We won't be sailing off from Port Peril on no fool's mission. All right, goodbye. Get off my island right now.
I have to go. I have to go rest my voice.
This takes a lot out of me. I hope this isn't a main character, brother.
I forgot to apply throat coat before the meeting.
I needed a herbal tea.
Yeah, you'll never catch me as a player making a character that has that kind of voice. I know from experience. I don't like doing this for long periods of time. Right, so the council begins to break up, and you hear, I mean, there's a good amount of grumbling from the pirates that have come. Perhaps, you know, some folk like Cerise Bloodmourne, you might even hear whispers calling him a coward, the Hurricane King. Perhaps she goes up to Tessa Fairwind and kind of puts a sympathetic hand on her shoulder. And yeah, as you guys are getting ready to leave, Mr. Avamar Sorenash comes up to you all and says,
"Well, how do you do, Captain Vell? I heard you took on the old Black Tower. Is that right?"
"Oh, yes, yes. Was quite the din of demons and occult natures there. Beautiful tower, though. Lovely, lovely and high."
"Yes, the word has traveled fast of your exploits, and there's also been some hubbub in town. Your pirates said you've bested Harrigan. Well, congratulations. I had the honor of talking to someone on your ship about looking at your records, talking about your haul of the booty from the Black Tower. It was quite impressive how much gold was in that old fort, wasn't it?"
"I mostly remember like a fungus and creatures with lots of tentacles, if I'm being honest with you. But yeah, yes, of course. Anytime you have an eldritch base such as that, yeah, there's a copper piece or two down there.
A mystical magical sword gone for the better part of a generation. Anyway, I've heard the estimates put it in the neighborhood of 24,000 gold in treasure. You are a rich, rich man, is that right?"
"Rich in friendship and sailing prowess. 24,000, though, that seems a tad high. For what I remember coming out of that obelisk was, but if that's what you say, so, you know, perhaps I'd be true."
"In the pirate's booty here, you've just posted that you guys are each getting a payout of like 10,000 gold, is that right? Is that not right?"
"Roughly."
"Oh, that was after tax. That wasn't quite, so, you know, I think it's already settled."
Avamar says, "Well, marking that as it may be, it seems like your tithing to me, your 20% cut, would only be a mere 4,800 gold and a few silver and copper. I'm sure we can round up."
"Aye, and then start a payment plan."
"Yeah, no. We'll need that gold. Too sweet. Need that golden booty in my ships to go back and start shoring up the defenses of Alo for your phantom fleet of Chelish."
Now I listen.
"Yes.
You are, without a doubt, one of the strongest fighters I've ever had the unfortunate business of having to fight. You must know that, especially where Alo is, that you could get a fortune four times the size of what we'll pay if you just come with us and maybe take the fight to the Chelish. First pickings. That's worth something, mate."
"And defy my king?" "That's a good one, Vel. No, I'll just take your gold and be off. I'll be out of your hair in no time here. As the last council meeting, if you recall, you voted for the appropriate payment of the Isle of the Black Tower. It falls under my domain, mind you, so..."
"Oh, no, I don't... not arguing that point, and happy to pay you the tithe that we owe you. Just thought you might be interested in a shimmage more. Anyway, good luck defending yourself against the greatest fleet to ever descend upon the Shackles, mate."
"Well, I'm not going to be fighting them on the open seas. Many a Sahu Gain has stabbed themselves on the defenses of Alo. Dinosaurs try to attack every once in a while, too. We take them down. I think we can handle a few jellish marines."
"Oh, this would be... if I'm being honest with you, mate, it's more like a few thousand. But I'm very impressed with your confidence. And but that
as you're talking, Mr. Ager the Barracuda comes up to you. His you know filed down, metallic covered teeth kind of chomping at the bit and says,
Captain Cassius, I recall that I owe you a good amount of gold here for the recovery of this sword. Brager's Kiss. I couldn't help but hear that you had a tax to pay for the recovery of this sword, and I am willing to buy this sword off of you, pay that off, and then some, as per our agreement.
Of course. Your timing is most excellent.
Yes, no, I came all the way here after fighting along with ye.
Did he bring the gold with him? Like, is he, it's just, you have like this giant like carriage.
Dragging a chest behind him.
I mean, it's in gems and things as well, but maybe some platinum pieces as well. But no, he's willing to pay that off and then give you guys an extra 1,200 gold in exchange for the sword. Giving you 6,000
using that sword
for it.
No, we gave it to him.
I think so.
I had it for the fight in the tower, but when we got out of the tower,
yeah, that's where you found it.
We gifted it to him as he being the rightful heir, and with the promise that he would fight alongside us in the fleet battle and then pay for the sword.
Yeah, there you go. So I mean, it is a +2, you know, greater striking sword, but most of its value is the fact that it's a relic that has this extra magical portal sealing capability. But he is willing to pay. I mean, for a smaller pirate like him with only a few ships, probably a quarter season's worth of take. You know, we're talking 60 plunder points or so.
Oh man, that's a lot of
so many PP. Yeah, 6,000 gold. Right, so long as you're willing to pay the 4,800 yo to Avamar Sornash, he leaves feeling very happy. But Tessa seems very perturbed. She's like, I know that I can perhaps count on you all, and I've been able to convince Cerise here as well, but I can't follow the Hurricane King's suggestion here. I don't feel right going back to Quint and tucking my tail between my legs. We have ships. Some of them might be being repaired at the moment, but if we don't do something, I feel like we will lose more allies in the coming weeks than we can possibly afford. I want to suggest meeting up, combining our fleets, and perhaps sailing north, Cassius. I don't know what exactly we'll be sailing into, but perhaps we can make some effort, make some difference in the battles that are still to come. I couldn't tell you if Aranax or the Master of Gales are going to be able to join us, or if they're in trouble right now, but I feel that we have to try. What say you? I understand that some of you are rightful lords as well. I feel like if we unite and we're all of the same mind, perhaps we can put this to a vote and see where our futures lie on these waters.
Is there anything stopping a pirate from sailing east?
What do you mean?
Like, can't pirates can just go where they want, right? Like, what if a lot of pirates just go to the Eye of Abednego just because they feel like it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
we just might happen to sail that way.
I heard there was some gold.
I think after defeating Harrigan, we earned a vacation.
Let's go into a hurricane.
Oh, beach episode.
Yep, beach episode. And you know where has... I hear that Drenchport has some great beaches.
Do you worry of Mace Darimar and the Master of Gales? Should we sail north immediately?
I guess I can... Yeah, that'd probably be best. I can send word to... Our fleet back at the Isle of Empty Eyes, that once repairs are complete, to begin heading towards, you know, wherever we be at the time.
Drenchport. Do you want to meet up at Drenchport?
That seems like the best place.
Sure. Right. So as you guys are leaving Fort Hazard, perhaps getting on your skiffs here, looking down from the tower window as sun sets over Jeopardy Bay, you see a feminine figure staring down in your direction. One you've glanced before. You've only seen scant sightings of in the Fort Hazard. Old, I guess, the Hurricane Queen herself got just staring daggers at you, flanked by her muscly guards. And
can I fly indeed, up, George?
There's like a. Do you want to?
Sure.
Go right ahead.
Cassius just, you know, like lifts up to where he's flying, maybe even a little higher than she is, because why not? And says, I hope the Pirate Queen is going to be safe defending Port Peril against what is coming.
You dare speak to me? I've seen your wake of destruction left in your ship's path. I see where you plan to go and what you plan on doing. This will likely be the last time we have the chance to speak. Your story is written upon your body. Those tattoos, well, they will be your demise. She's got to have an evil queen laugh as she turns.
Doesn't have to.
Walks back in. Her two bodyguards, I don't want to.
Do they laugh with her?
I don't want to call it how it is, but it is a chunkier, an even beefier version of a very large Aruxi in kind of a similar kit, you know, muscle bound, not a lot of armor, and in a very heavily armored orcish, man of orcish ancestry. They follow her back inside and close some very heavy looking doors from the balcony behind you. You can still hear her laughing echoing through the hallways of Fort Hazard as she leaves you to your mission here.
Fantastic.
Is she also a Skellabone person?
No. She's a pretty, I think I have a picture of her somewhere.
She's very fleshy.
Fairly attractive looking.
She has too much dark haired actually.
Woman, is there part of her? I feel like
she has like two times the amount of skin that she needs to have.
Yeah, she actually looks like a fat bastard when he went on the Subway diet.
It looks like Bingus.
Bingus, you say?
Yeah, Bingus.
Bingus.
You don't know Bingus?
I will Google Bingus.
I'll show you Bingus later.
That's going to do it for this week's episode, as what lies in store in Drenchport is a tale for another time here on the Mineral Nooknits. Tale for another time.
No. I need to know what's happening up there.
Nothing good.
Oh, no.
Nothing great. I'm very excited you decided to go north. Right, so that's going to do it for us here. Folks, thank you for playing with me.
Thank you, Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
Our Patreon pirates, our freebie captains, listeners wherever you are, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next episode of Dead Men Roll No Crits.
Yarr!
Yarr!
Yarr!